Another reason why the carnal, unbelieving world do so slight the scriptures and word of God is because the judgment spoken of in the scripture is not presently executed on the transgressors. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because God doth not presently strike the poor wretch as soon as he sins, but waits and forbears and is patient. Therefore the world, judging God to be unfaithful, go to it again and again, and every time grow harder and harder, till at last God is forced either to stretch out his mighty power to turn them, or else send death, and with the devil in hell, to fetch them. Thou thoughtest, saith God, that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Psalm 50, verses 21 and 22. Number 5. Ground. Another reason why the blind world do slight the authority of Scripture is because they give ear to the devil, who, through his subtlety, casteth false evasions and corrupt interpretations on them, rendering them not so point-blank the mind of God, and a rule for direction to poor souls, persuading them that they must give ear and way to something else besides and beyond that, or else he labors to render it vile and contemptible by persuading them that it is a dead letter, when indeed they know not what they say, nor whereof they affirm. For the Scripture is not so dead, but that the knowledge of it is able to make any man wise unto salvation, through faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and is profitable for instruction, reproof, and correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works, verse 17. And where it is said, the letter killeth, he meaneth the law, as it is the ministration of damnation, or a covenant of works, and so indeed it doth kill, and must do so, because it is just, forasmuch as the party that is under the same is not able to yield to it a complete and continual obedience. But yet I will call Peter and Paul to witness that the Scriptures are of a very glorious concernment, inasmuch as in them is held forth to us the way of life, and also in that they do administer good ground of hope to us. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. And again, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. And therefore, whosoever they be that slight the scriptures, they slight that which is no less than the word of God. And they who slight that, slight him that spake it. And they that do so, let them look to themselves, for God will be revenged on such. Much more might be said to this thing, but I would not be tedious. A word or two more, so I have done with this. Consider the danger of slighting the words of the prophets or apostles, whether they be correction, reproof, admonition, forewarning, or the blessed invitations and promises contained in them. Number 1. Consider. Such souls do provoke God to anger and to execute his vengeance on them. They refuse to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear the law, and they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 11, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Number 2. Consider. God will not regard their calamity. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 28. Consider, or number 3, consider. God doth commonly give up such men to delusions, to believe lies, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Number 4, consider. In a word, they that do continue to reject and slight the word of God, they are such, for the most part, as are ordained to be damned. Old Eli, his sons, not hearkening to the voice of their father, reproving them for their sins, but disobeying his voice. It is said, it was because the Lord would slay them. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25. Again, see in 2 Chronicles 25, verses 15 and 16. Amaziah, having sinned against the Lord, he sends to him a prophet to reprove him. But Amaziah says, Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? He did not hearken to the word of God. Then the prophet forbear, saying, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Read therefore, and the Lord give thee understanding. For a miserable end will those have that go on sinning against God, rejecting his word. Other things might have been observed from this verse, which at this time I shall pass by, partly because the sum of them hath been touched already, and may be more clearly hinted at in the following verse, and therefore I shall speak a few words to the next verse, and so draw towards a conclusion. Verse 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And he said, that is, and God made answer to the words spoken in the verse before. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses, etc. As if he had said, Moses was a man of great renown, a man of worthy note, a man that talked with God face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. The words that Moses spake were such as I commanded him to speak. Let who will question them, I will own them, credit them. Bless them that close in with them, and curse those that reject them. I myself sent the prophets. They did not run out of their own heads. I gave them commission. I thrust them out, and told them what they should say. In a word, they have told the world what my mind is to do, both to sinners and to saints. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Therefore, he that shall reject and turn his back either upon the threatenings, counsels, admonitions, invitations, promises, or whatsoever else I have commanded them to speak as to salvation and life, and to directions therein, shall be sure to have a share in the many curses that they have spoken, and the destruction that is pronounced by them. Again, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, etc., as if he had said, Thou wouldst have me send one from the dead unto them. What needs that? They have my mind already. I have declared unto them what I intend to stand to, both for saving them that believe, and damning them that do not. That therefore which I have said, I will make good, whether they hear or forbear. And as for this desire of yours, you had as good desire me to make a new Bible, and so to revoke my first sayings by the mouth of my prophets. But I am God and not man, and my word is immutable, unchangeable, and shall stand as fast as my decrees can make it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but one jot or tittle of my word shall not pass. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. If thou hadst 10,000 brethren, and every one in danger of losing his soul, if they did not close in with what is contained and recorded in the scriptures of truth, they must even every one of them perish and be forever damned in hell, for the scriptures cannot be broken. I did not send them so unadvisedly to recall it again by another consideration. No, for I speak in righteousness and in judgment, Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 3, and in much wisdom and counsel. It being therefore gone out of my mouth in this matter, it shall not return in vain, until it hath accomplished the thing whereto I have sent it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. But again, thou supposest that miracles and wonders will work more on them, which makes thee say, send one from the dead. But herein thou art mistaken, for I have proved them with that once and again by more than one or two or three of my servants. How many miracles did my servant Moses work by commandment from me in the land of Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness? Yet they of that generation were never the sooner converted for that, but notwithstanding, rebelled and lusted, and in their hearts turned back into Egypt. Acts chapter 7. How many miracles did Samuel, David, Elias, Elisha, Daniel, and the prophets, together with my son, who raised the dead, cast out devils, made them to see that were born blind, gave and restored limbs? Yet for all this, as I said before, they hated him. They crucified him. I raised him again from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, who were called and chosen and faithful, and he gave them commandment and commission to go and testify the truth of this to the world, and to condemn the same. He enabled them to speak with diverse tongues and to work miracles most plentifully. Yet there was great persecution raised against them, insomuch that but a few of them died in their beds. And therefore, though thou thinkest that a miracle will do so much with the world, yet I say no. For if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. From these words, therefore, take notice of this truth, namely, that those who reject and believe not Moses and the prophets are a very hard-hearted people, that will not be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. They that regard not the Holy Scriptures to turn to God, finding them to testify of his goodness and mercy, there is but little hopes of their salvation, for they will not, mark, they will not be persuaded though one should rise from the dead. This truth is confirmed by Jesus Christ himself. If you read John chapter 5, where the Lord is speaking of himself, that he is the very Christ, he brings in 4,000 or 5,000 witnesses to back what he said. 1. John the Baptist. 2. The works that his father gave him to do. 3. His father speaking from heaven. 4. The testimony of the scriptures. When all this was done, seeing yet they would not believe, he lays the fault upon one of these two things. Number 1. They're regarding an esteem among men. Number 2. They're not believing of the prophets' writings, even Moses and the rest. For had ye believed Moses, saith he, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now I say, he that shall slight the scriptures and the testimony of the prophets and them concerning Jesus Christ must needs be in great danger of losing his soul. If he abide in this condition, because he that slights the testimony doth also slight the thing testified of, let him say the contrary never so often. For as Jesus Christ hath here laid down the reason of men's not receiving him, so the apostle in another place lays down the reason again with a high and mighty aggravation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, saying, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, mark, the record that God gave of his Son. The record, you will say, what is that? Why, even the testimony that God gave of him by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. That is, God sending his Holy Spirit into the hearts of his servants, the prophets and apostles. He, by his Spirit in them, did bear witness or record of the truth of salvation by his Son Jesus, both before and after his coming. And thus is that place also to be understood, which saith, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. That is, the Spirit and the apostles which preached him to the world, as is clear if you read seriously 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. The apostle, speaking of Jesus Christ and obedience to God through him, saith thus, Now he that despiseth not man, but God. But it is you that speak, true, but it is by and through the Spirit. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. This is therefore a mighty confirmation of this truth, that he that slights the record or testimony that God, by his Spirit, in his prophets and apostles, hath testified unto us, slights the testimony of the Spirit who moved them to speak these things. And if so, then I would fain know how any man can be saved by Jesus Christ that slights the testimony concerning Christ, yea, the testimony of his own Spirit concerning his own self. It is true, men may pretend to have the testimony of the Spirit, and from that conceit set a low esteem on the Holy Scriptures. But that Spirit that dwelleth in them and teacheth them so to do, it is no better than the spirit of Satan, though he calls itself by the name of the Spirit of Christ. To the law, therefore, and to the testimony, try them by that. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Apostle Peter, when he speaks of the glorious voice that he had from the excellent majesty, saying of Christ, This is my beloved Son, hear him, saith thus to them whom he wrote unto, You have also a more sure word of prophecy, or of the prophets, for so you may read it, unto which ye do well, that ye take heed. That is, though we tell you that we had this excellent testimony from his own mouth, evidently, yet you have the prophets. We tell you this, and you need not doubt of the truth of it, but if you should, yet you may not, must not, ought not to question them. Search therefore into them until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That is, until by the same Spirit that gave forth the Scripture, you find the truth confirmed to your souls, which you have recorded in the Scriptures, that this word of prophecy, or of the prophets, is the Scriptures. Read on, for, saith he, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, etc. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, Part 9. Objection. But you will say, What needs all this ado? And why is all this time and pain spent in seeking to this that is surely believed already? This is a thing received by all, that they believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, that sure word of prophecy, and therefore you need not spend your time in proving these things and the truth of them. Seeing we grant and confess the truth of it before you, being to speak your judgment of them. Answer. The truths of God cannot be borne witness unto too often. You may as well say, number one, you need not preach Jesus Christ so much, seeing he hath been and is received for the true Messiah already. Number two, though many may suppose that they do believe the Scriptures, yet if they were but well examined, you will find them either by word of mouth, or else by conversation, to deny, reject, and slight the Holy Scriptures. It is true, there is a notional and historical assent in the head, I say in the head of many, or most, to the truth contained in the Scriptures. But try them, I say, and you shall find but a little, if any, of the faith of the operation of God in the hearts of poor men, to believe the Scriptures and things contained in them. Many, yea, most men believe the Scriptures as they believe a fable, a story, a tale of which there is no certainty. But alas, there are but few do indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures to be the very Word of God. Objection. But you will say, This seems strange to me. Answer. And it seems as true to me, and I doubt not but to make it manifest, that there are but few, yea, very few, that do effectually for I aim at, for that I aim at, believe the scriptures and the truths contained in and spoken of by them. But to make this appear, and to that purpose, if God will, I shall lay you down the several operations that the scriptures have on them who do effectually believe the things contained in them. First, he doth effectually believe the scriptures, or he that doth effectually believe the scriptures, hath in the first place been killed, I say killed by the authority of the Holy Scriptures, struck stark dead in a spiritual sense by the Holy Scriptures, being set home by that Spirit which gave them forth upon the soul. The letter killeth. The letter strikes men dead, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And this Paul witnessed and found before he could say, I believe all that the prophets have spoken, where he saith, I was alive without the law once, that is, my natural state, before the law was set on my heart with power. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died, Romans chapter 7, verse 9. And that law which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me, verse 11. Now that which is called the letter in 2 Corinthians is called the law in Romans 7, by which its power and operation, as it is wielded by the Spirit of God, doth in the first place kill and slay all those that are enabled to believe the Scriptures. I kill, saith God, that is, with my law I pierce, I wound, I prick men into the very heart, by showing them their sins against my law. Deuteronomy 31, verse 26, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And he that is ignorant of this is also ignorant of, and doth not really and effectually believe the Scripture. But you will say, how doth the law kill and strike dead the poor creatures? Answer, the letter, or law, doth kill thus. It is set home upon the soul, and discovers to the soul its transgressions against the law, and shows the soul also that it cannot completely satisfy the justice of God for the breach of his law. Therefore it is condemned, John chapter 3, verse 18. Mark, he that believeth not is condemned already. He, to wit, by the law, that is, the law doth condemn him, yea, it hath condemned him already for his sins against it, as it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, all men, as they come into the world, are in this condition, that is, condemned by the law, yet not believing their condemnation by the law, really, they do not also believe really and effectually the law that doth condemn them. For as men have but a notion of the one, that is, their condemnation, because of sins against the law, so they have but a notion of the condemning, killing, and destroying power of the law. For as the one is, so in these things always is the other. There is no man that doth really believe the law or gospel further than they do feel the power and authority of them in their hearts. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Now this letter, or law, is not to be taken in the largest sense, but is strictly to be tied to the Ten Commandments, whose proper work is only by showing the soul its sin against this law, to kill, and there leaves him stark dead, not giving him the least life or support or comfort, but leaves the soul in a helpless and hopeless condition, as from itself or any other mere creature. It is true, the law hath laid all men for dead, as they come into the world, but all men do not see themselves dead, until they see that law that struck them dead striking in their souls, and having struck them that fatal blow. As a man that is fast asleep in a house, and that on fire about his ears, and he not knowing of it because he is asleep, even so, because poor souls are asleep in sin, though the wrath of God, the curse of his law, and the flames of hell have beset them round about, yet they do not believe it, because they are asleep in sin. Now, as he that is awakened and sees this, sees that there or sees that through this, he is a dead man. Even so, they that do see their state by nature, being such a sad condition, do also see themselves by that law to be dead men naturally. But now, when didst thou feel the power of this first part of the Scripture, the law, so mighty as to strike thee dead? If not, thou dost not so much as verily believe that part of the Scripture that doth contain the law in it to be the truth of God. Yet if thou shouldest have felt something, I say, something of the killing power of the law of God in thine heart, this is not an argument to prove that thou believest all things contained in the Scripture. For there is gospel as well as law, and therefore I shall speak to that also, that is, whether thou hast felt the power of the gospel as well as something of the power of the law. Second, then thou hast found the power of the gospel and so believed it. Thou hast found it thus with thy soul. Number one, thou hast been showed by the word of, or truth of the gospel in the light of the Spirit of Christ, that by nature thou wert without the true faith of the Son of God in thy soul. For when he, the Spirit, is come, he shall show men that they believe not in me, saith Christ. John chapter 16, verse 9. Mark, though thou hast, as I said before, felt somewhat of the power of the law, letter or Ten Commandments, yet as thou hast not been brought to this, to see by the Spirit in the gospel, that thou art without faith by nature, thou hast not yet tasted, much less believed, any part of the gospel. For the gospel and the law are two distinct covenants, and they that are under the law or first covenant, and yet in the meantime to be a stranger to the covenant of promise, that is the gospel, and so have no hope in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. There is not any promise that can be believed, that can be savingly believed, until the soul be by the gospel converted to Jesus Christ. For though men do think never so much that they believe the things or the word of the gospel of our salvation, yet unless they have the work of grace in their souls, they do not, cannot rightly believe the things contained in the Scriptures. Again, number two. As the law killeth those that believe it, even so the promises contained in the gospel do, through faith, administer comfort to those that believe it aright. My words, saith Christ, my words, they are spirit, and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 63. As if he had said, the words contained in the law as a covenant of works, they wound and kill, they strike dead those that are under them. But as for me, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. That is, whosoever doth receive them believingly shall find them full of operation, to comfort, quicken, and revive their soul. For as I did not come into the world to destroy men's lives, so the words that I speak, as I am sent to preach the gospel, they have no such tendency unto those that believe them. The promises that are in the gospel, oh, how do they comfort them? Such a promise, and such a promise. Oh, how sweet it is. How comfortable to those that believe them. Alas, there are many poor souls that think they believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, and yet they never enjoyed anything of the life and promises. They come in upon the heart to quicken, to revive thee, to raise thee from the sentence of death that is passed on thee by the law. And through the faith that is wrought in thy soul by the operation of God's Holy Spirit, though once killed by the law or letter, thou art made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is presented to thy soul in the promises. Third, dost thou indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then the things contained in them, especially the things of the gospel, are very excellent to thy soul, as the birth of Christ, the death, resurrection, intercession, and second coming. Oh, how precious and excellent are they to thy soul, insomuch that thou regardest nothing in comparison of them. Oh, it is Christ's birth, death, blood, resurrection, etc., according to the Scriptures, that thou dost rejoice in exceedingly and abundantly desire after.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.
Fourth, dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then thou standest in awe of and dost much reverence them. Why? They are the Word of God, the true sayings of God. They are the counsel of God. They are His promises and His threatenings. Poor souls are apt to think, if I could hear God speak to me from heaven with an audible voice, then sure I should be serious and believe it. But truly, if God should speak to thee from heaven, except thou wert converted, thou wouldst not regard, nor really believe Him. But if thou dost believe the Scriptures, thou seest that they are the truth as really as if God should speak to thee from heaven through the clouds, and therefore never flatter thyself, foolishly thinking, that if it were so and so, then thou couldst believe. I tell thee, saith Christ, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe through though one should rise from the dead. But, fifth, dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then, through faith in Christ, thou endeavorest to have thy life squared according to the Scriptures, both in word and practice. Nay, this I say, thou mayest have, though thou do not believe them all. My meaning is, that if thou believe none but the Ten Commandments, thy life may be, according to them, a legal, holy life. And if thou do believe the Gospel too, then thy life will be the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, either thou wilt live in the blessed and holy enjoyment of what is testified in the Scripture concerning the glorious things of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else thou wilt be exceedingly panting after them. For the Scriptures carry such a blessed beauty in them to that soul that hath faith in the things contained in them, that they do take the heart and captivate the soul of him that believeth them into the love and liking of them, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope towards God that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. Sixth, he that believes the Scriptures to be the Word of God, if he do but suppose that any one place of Scripture doth exclude him, and shut him out of, and from a share of the promises contained in them, Oh, it will trouble him, grieve him, perplex him. Yea, he will not be satisfied until he be resolved, and the contrary sealed to his soul. For he knows that the Scriptures are the word of God, all truth, and therefore he knows that if any one sentence doth exclude or bar him out for want of this or the other qualification, he knows also that not the word alone shuts him out, but he that speaks it, even God himself. And therefore he cannot, will not, dare not be contented until he find his soul and Scripture together, with the things contained therein, to embrace each other, and a sweet correspondency and agreement between them. For you must know that to him that believes the Scriptures aright, the promises or threatenings are of more power to comfort or cast down than all the promises or threatenings of all the men in the world. And this was the cause why the martyrs of Jesus did so slight both the promises of their adversaries, when they would have overcome them with proffering the great things of this world unto them, and also to their threatenings, when they told them they would rack them, hang them, burn them. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things could prevail upon them or against them, because they did most really believe the Scriptures and the things contained in them, as is clearly found and to be seen in Hebrews 11, also in Mr. Fox's records of their brethren. Seventh, he that believeth the Scriptures to be the word of God believeth that men must be born again, and also to be partakers of that faith which is of the operation of God, according as he hath read and believed, or else he must and shall be damned. And he that believeth this aright will not be contented until, according as it is written, he do partake of and enjoy the new birth, and until he do find, through grace, that faith that is wrought by the operation of God in his soul. For this is the cause why men do satisfy themselves with so slender a conceited hope that their state is good when it is nothing so, namely, because they do not credit the Scripture. For did they would look into their own hearts and examine seriously whether that faith, that hope, that grace which they think they have be of that nature and wrought by that Spirit and power that the Scripture speaketh of. I speak this of an effectual believing, without which all other is nothing unto salvation. Number 6. Five uses by way of self-examination. Now then, because I would not be too tedious, I shall at this time lay down no more discoveries of such an one as doth savingly believe the Scriptures and the things contained in them, but shall speak a few words of examination concerning the things already mentioned, as first use. Thou sayest thou dost indeed and in truth effectually believe the Scriptures. I ask, therefore, wast thou ever killed stark dead by the law of works contained in the Scriptures, killed by the law or letter, and made to see thy sins against it, and left in a helpless condition by that law? For as I said, the proper work of the law is to slay the soul, and to leave it dead in a helpless state. For it doth neither give the soul any comfort itself when it comes, nor doth it show the soul where comfort is to be had, and therefore it is called the ministration of condemnation, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The ministration of death, verse 7. For though men may have a notion of the blessed word of God, as the children had, yet before they be converted, it may truly be said of them, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Second use. You say you do believe the Scriptures to be the word of God. I say again, examine. Wast thou ever quickened from a dead state by the power of the Spirit of Christ, through the other part of the Scripture, that is to say, by the power of God and his Son Jesus Christ, through the covenant of the promise? I tell thee from the Lord, if thou hast felt such a quickening power in the words of Christ, John 6, that thou hast been lifted out of that dead condition that thou before wast in, and that when thou wast under the guilt of sin, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil, and the justice of the great God, thou hast been enabled by the power of God in Christ, revealed to thee by the Spirit, through and by the Scripture, to look sin, death, hell, the devil, and the law, and all the things that are at enmity with thee, with boldness and comfort in the face, through the blood, death, righteousness, resurrection, and intercession of Christ, made mention of in the Scriptures. And third use, on this account, how excellent are the Scriptures to thy soul! Oh, how much virtue dost thou see in such a promise, in such an invitation! They are so large as to say, Christ will in no wise cast me out. My crimson sin shall be as white as snow. I tell thee, friend, there are some promises that the Lord hath helped me to lay hold of Jesus Christ through and by, that I would not have out of the Bible for as much gold and silver as can lie between York and London, piled up to the stars. Because through them Christ is pleased by His Spirit to convey comfort to my soul, I say, when the law curses, when the devil tempts, when hell fire flames in my conscience, my sins with the guilt of them tearing of me, then is Christ revealed so sweetly to my poor soul, through the promises that all is forced to fly and leave off to accuse my soul. So also, when the world frowns, when the enemies rage and threaten to kill me, then also the precious, the exceeding great and precious promises do weigh down all and comfort the soul against all. This is the effect of believing the Scriptures savingly, for they that do so have by and through the Scriptures good comfort, and also ground of hope, believing those things to be its own which the Scriptures hold forth. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Fourth use, examine. Dost thou stand in awe of sinning against God? Because He hath in the Scriptures commanded thee to abstain from it. Dost thou give diligence to make thy calling and election sure? Because God commanded it in the Scripture? Dost thou examine thyself whether thou be in the faith or no, having a command in Scripture so to do? Or dost thou, notwithstanding what thou readest in the Scripture, follow the world, delight in sin, neglect coming to Jesus Christ, speak evil of the saints, slight and make a mock at the ordinance of God, delight in wicked company and the like? Then know that it is because thou dost not indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures effectually. For as I said before, if a man do believe them, and that savingly, then he stands in awe, he looks to his steps, he turns his feet from evil, and endeavors to follow that which is good, which God hath commanded in the Scriptures of truth. Yet not from a legal or natural principle, that is, to seek for life by doing that good thing, but knowing that salvation is already obtained for him by the blood of that man, Christ Jesus, on the cross, because he believes the Scriptures. Therefore, mark, I pray, therefore, I say he labors to walk with his God in all well-pleasing and godliness, because of the sweet power of the loves of Christ, which he feels in his soul by the Spirit, according to the Scriptures, constrain him so to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Fifth use, examine again. Dost thou labor after those qualifications that the Scriptures do describe a child of God by? That is, faith, yea, the right faith, the most holy faith, the faith of the operation of God. And also, dost thou examine whether there is a real growth of grace in thy soul, as love, zeal, self-denial, and a seeking by all means to attain, if possible, to the resurrection of the dead? That is, not to satisfy thyself until thou be dissolved and rid of this body of death, and be transformed into that glory that the saints shall be in after the resurrection day. And in the meantime, just labor and take all opportunities to walk as near as may be to the pitch, though thou know thou canst not attain it perfectly. Yet I say, thou dost aim at it, seek after it, press towards it, and to hold it, and to hold on in thy race. Thou shunnest that which may any way hinder thee, and also closest in with what may any way further the same, knowing that that must be, or desiring that it should be, thine eternal frame, and therefore out of love and liking to it, thou dost desire and long after it, as being the thing that doth most please thy soul. Or how is it with thy soul? Art thou such an one as regards not these things, but rather busy thy thoughts about the things here below, following those things that have no scent of divine glory upon them? If so, look to thyself. Thou art an unbeliever, and so under the wrath of God, and will for certain fall into the same place of torment that thy fellows have fallen into before thee, to the grief of thy own soul and thy everlasting destruction. Consider and regard these things, and lay them to thy heart before it be too late to recover thyself, by repenting of the one, and desiring to close in with the other. Oh, I say, regard, regard, for hell is hot. God's hand is up. The law is resolved to discharge against thy soul. The judgment day is at hand. The graves are ready to fly open. The trumpet is near the sounding. The sentence will ere long be passed. Then you and I cannot call time again. Use and application. But again, seeing they are so certain, so sure, so irrevocable and firm, and seeing the saving faith of the things contained therein, is to reform the soul and bring it over into the things of God. Really conforming to the things contained therein, both to the point of justification and also an impartial walking and giving up thy soul and body to a conformity to all the commands, counsels, instructions, and exhortations contained therein. This then will learn us how to judge of those who give up themselves to walk in the imaginations of their own hearts, who slight and lay aside the Scriptures, counting them but empty and uncertain things, and will live every day in open contradiction to what is contained, commanded, and forbidden therein, as first. This will show us that all your drunkards, whoremasters, liars, thieves, swearers, backbiters, slanderers, scoffers at goodness, etc., I say, we may see by this that they that live in such things have not the faith of these things contained in their hearts, seeing they delight to practice those things that are forbidden by and in them. And so, they continuing, living and dying in this state, we may conclude without fear that these portions of Holy Scripture belong unto them, and shall for certain be fulfilled upon them. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But the abominable, the unbelieving, the whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Depart, depart from me, for I will not save you. Depart, for my blood shall not at all wash you. Depart, for you shall not set one foot into the kingdom of heaven. Depart, ye cursed. Ye are cursed of God, cursed of his law, cursed of me, cursed by the saints, and cursed by the angels, cursed all over, nothing but cursed, and therefore depart from me, and wither, into everlasting fire, fire that will scald, scorch, burn, and flame to purpose, fire that shall never be quenched, Mark 9, fire that will last to all eternity. And must we be all alone? No, you shall have company, stores of company with you, namely, all the raging, roaring devils, together with an innumerable company of fellow damned sinners, men, women, and children. And if the Scriptures be true, as they will one day wonderfully appear to be, then this must and shall be thy portion, if thou live and die in this state. and all of them who continue in sinning against the truth contained in the Scriptures, as, first, dost thou delight to sin against plain command? Thou art gone. Second, dost thou slight and scorn the counsels contained in the Scriptures, and continue in so doing? Then thou art gone. Third, dost thou continually neglect to come to Christ, and usest arguments in thine own heart to satisfy thy soul with so doing? Then thou art gone. Luke chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, compared with verse 24, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? That is, there is no way to escape. Number one, because God hath said that we shall not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, that was Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Number two, because he hath not only said they shall not, but also hath bound it with an oath, saying, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews 3, verse 11. To whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest? Answer, to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verses 18 and 19. Second, this will teach us what to think and conclude of such who, though they do not so openly discover their folly by open and gross sins against the law, yet will give more heed to their own spirits and the movings thereof, though they be neither commanded nor commended for the same in Scripture. Nay, though the Scripture command and commend the contrary, then they will to the holy and revealed will of God, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I say, such men are in as bad a state as the other to the full, being disobedient to God's will revealed in His Word, as well as they, though in a different manner, the one openly transgressing against the plain and well-known truths revealed in it, the other, though more close and hidden, yet secretly rejecting and slighting them, giving more heed to their own spirits and the motions thereof, although not warranted by the Scriptures. A few words more, and so I shall conclude. And, first, take heed that you content not yourself with the bare notion of the Scriptures in your heads, by which you may go far, even so far as to be able to dispute for the truth, to preach the gospel, and labor to vindicate it in opposition to gainsayers, and yet be found at the left hand of Christ at the judgment day, forasmuch as thou didst content thyself with the notion or traditional knowledge of them. Second, have a care that thou own the whole Scripture, and not own one part and neglect another, or slight it as thus. To own the law and slight the gospel, or to think that thou must be saved by thy good doings and works, for that is all one, as if thou did thrust Christ away from thee, or else so to own the gospel, as if by it thou wert exempted from all obedience to the Ten Commandments, and conformity to the law and life and conversation. For in so doing, thou wilt for certain make sure of eternal vengeance. Third, have a care that thou put not wrong names on the things contained in the Scriptures, as to call the law Christ, and Christ the law. For some, having done so, in my knowledge, have so darkened to themselves the glorious truths of the gospel, that in a very little time they have been resolved to thwart and oppose them, and so have made room in their own souls for the devil to inhabit, and obtained a place in hell for their own souls to be tormented forever and ever. Against this danger, therefore, in reading and receiving the testimony of Scripture, learn to distinguish between the law and the gospel, and to keep them clear asunder as to the salvation of thy soul. Number one, and that thou mayest do so in the first place, beg of God that he would show thee the nature of the gospel, and set it home effectually, with life and power upon thy soul by faith, which is this, that God would show thee that as thou being man hast sinned against God, so Christ being God, man, hath bought thee again, and with his most precious blood set thee free from the bondage thou hast fallen into by thy sins. And that not upon condition that thou wilt do thus and thus, this and the other good work, but rather that thou, being first justified freely by mere grace through the blood of Jesus, shouldst also receive thy strength from him who hath bought thee, to walk before him in an all well-pleasing. Being enabled thereto by the virtue of his Spirit, which hath revealed to thy soul that thou art delivered already from wrath to come by the obedience not of thee, but of another man, Jesus Christ. Number 2. Then if the law thou readest of, tell thee in thy conscience thou must do this and the other good work of the law, if ever thou wilt be saved, answer plainly that for thy part thou art resolved now not to work for life, but to believe in the virtue of that blood shed upon the cross, upon Mount Calvary, for the remission of sins. And yet because Christ hath justified thee freely by his grace, thou wilt serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of thy life, yet not in a legal spirit or in a covenant of works, but mine obedience, say thou, I will endeavor to have it free and cheerful out of the love to my Lord Jesus. Have a care thou receive not this doctrine in the notion only, lest thou bring a just damnation upon thy soul by professing thyself to be freed by Christ's blood from the guilt of sin, while thou remainest still a servant to the filth of sin. For I must tell you, that unless you have the true and saving work of the faith and grace of the gospel in your hearts, you will either go on in a legal holiness, according to the tenor of the law, or else, through a notion of the gospel, the devil bewitching and beguiling thy understanding, will, and affections, thou wilt, ranter-like, turn the grace of God into wantonness, and bring upon thy soul double, if not triple, damnation, in that thou couldest not be contented to be, or be contented to be damned for thy sins against the law, but also to make ruin sure to thy soul, thou wouldst dishonor the gospel and turn the grace of God held forth and discovered to men by that into licentiousness. But that thou mightest be sure to escape these dangerous rocks on the right hand and on the left, see that thy faith be such as spoken of in Scripture, and that thou be not satisfied without that which is a faith wrought by the mighty operation of God, revealing Christ to and in thee as having wholly freed thee from thy sins by his most precious blood, which faith, if thou attain unto, will so work in thy heart, that first thou wilt see the nature of the law, and secondly, also the nature of the gospel, and delight in the glory of it, and also thou wilt find an engaging of thy heart and soul to Jesus Christ, even to the giving up of thy whole man unto him, to be ruled and governed by him to his glory.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.